Welcome to the Athletic MBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. That's Trevon Edwards, Wazi Lambre, Dave Dufour, Jay King. Jade Hoy is producing. Coming up on today's show, everyone likes everybody else. Like the Bucks like the Jazz. The Warriors like the Nets. Kyrie and Harden like each other. John Wall didn't like the Wizards. I guess that's the one non-Valentine's Day story. Plus, we'll break out the worry meter for a couple of teams. But first, let's start off with the drama that is a John Wall trade request back before he was traded to the Houston Rockets. Or was it? John Wall was reported to have requested a trade by Shams Charania of The Athletic months ago and eventually got that request confirmed, and he was sent to Houston for Russell Westbrook in a much talked about trade that we don't have to get into anymore. Except at one point, John Wall, when asked if he had asked for a trade, he said no comment. And then Tommy Shepard and the Wizards denied that there was a trade request, but they traded him anyway. And so now there is there's something from, where are we, from Fred Katz of The Athletic, who essentially said this. Quote, I know it's part of the business. I said all I ever wanted from the start was honesty. You know what I mean? Just tell me the truth, what it was. I can deal with it. I feel like I deserve the honesty and respect because I've been there for 10 years. I've been through the bad times. We've had the shit teams, the shitty teams, and we had good teams in DC. I never turned my back on the organization. I played through damn near every injury that a lot of people wouldn't have tried to play through. I even played through broken hands in the playoffs. I think I did everything I could and gave everything I had, heart and soul, to the organization on and off the court. Then everybody kept telling me, no, it's not true. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. I'm like, I know Houston probably called them first, but it's part of the business. Why wouldn't you call if somebody wants to be traded? You know what I mean? And it's not nothing, just having conversations. And that's all I wanted. If you're having conversations, that's cool. I get it. Nobody could ever tell me the truth about it. And so, all right, I guess at this point, it sounds like he did want to be traded. Even if Houston calls first, I don't know. Either way, he didn't like the way the Wizards went about it. And so, Dave, I'll start with you. In terms of this John Wall trade saga, I think a lot of people, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Masai Ujiri, DeMar DeRozan thing, right? When he got traded for Kawhi Leonard, I think it was like the day or two before, or at least that week, it was like, hey, we're not trading DeMar. And then they traded DeMar and won a championship, right? And it worked out. But this is something where the he said of all these trade rumors, at a certain point, I do wonder if you just kind of got to let it go. But that's also easy for me to say, because I'm not the one that felt disrespected and lied to.
Right. Well, you know, and you guys had to remind me before we started recording that he had even requested a trade. I forgot.
It feels like forever.
Completely. Or at least that it was reported that he had done that. Because I forgot. Because, you know, I talked to Fred Katz about this and it just doesn't come up. And I read Fred's report that was literally just directly John's own words. And it seems like the trade was a little bit news to him. Now, I took it as he knew one was coming. Didn't think it was going to be so soon, basically. And I don't know how much of that is the gang sign thing and it no longer being tenable for the Wizards. You know, I know Ted Leonsis, as David Aldridge has talked about extensively, wasn't really happy about that. And none of the front office was. So I don't know if that was the impetus to kind of push the trade forward, or if it was just, hey, you know, we might not be able to do much better than Russ. I mean, remember, John Wall was a mystery box. We didn't know what John Wall was going to be. Mm-hmm. 2 years out of the league with an Achilles and being a guy whose game was so reliant on speed and athleticism and burst. So, you know, the idea and revisionist history already with it, you know, 2 months of the season starting has been, wow, Houston really got one over on the Wizards. And so I think that John thought he was going to have a chance to show that he was healthy before he got moved, or at least that he was healthy and maybe the Wizards would say, hey, look, this thing might work. And I think in hindsight, man, the Wizards probably wish they had hung on to him for a little while.
He's looking good,
what,
right?
You know what this reminds me of? When, you know, you might go to your girl one day and say, babe, I think I want to have an open relationship. And then she actually goes and hooks up with another guy. Oh, and then all of a sudden you tight. Like, yo, you wanted this, John. Well, and like, I want to say first and foremost.
This is some serious Valentine's Day energy from what
we are recording this on Valentine's Day, just in case anyone didn't know. This is amazing.
No, why is it just practicing here?
Listen. Are you trying to tell somebody something, man?
Yeah, relax, relax. Relax, I'm a one-woman man. Relax.
Respect it, respect it. Live your life. Live your truth, Waz.
One at a time.
I personally am a huge fan of John Wall, not just his game, but how he chooses to deal with media in the sense that he doesn't give canned quotes. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's always honest. Like, I love that about John Wall, right? Like, he's always giving you real talk. And right now, like, he's giving you his real perspective. He felt emotional about being moved. That being said, you asked for a trade and they traded you. That's what happened. You requested a trade and you said, oh, maybe I was going to get eased into it. Maybe I was going to get to play in DC for a few months. No, you asked for a trade and they granted your request. Maybe you didn't like the timing. Maybe you didn't want to go to Houston. Maybe all these other things, but you asked for a trade, man.
I think
they traded you. So you don't get to do this right now.
It seems to me like his bigger beef was that he thought the Wizards felt like he was done. And he said that in, I think it was a television interview. Mm. And so it seems like it got personal.
So right now he's getting his revenge bod. You know, every time people break up, they get the revenge bod. Start posting the side pose in the mirror.
We got more relationships.
That's the formula. That is the formula. Oh my that, God, yeah.
But yeah, and I think, like, to me, it just NBA stars just think differently, man, and they have such high belief in themselves, mm-hmm. and that's why they mm-hmm. succeed. But it also mm-hmm. can make it difficult to kind of proceed in a way that a lot of other people would see as normal. Like, he hadn't played in 2 years. He had dealt with an injury that basically no one comes back from and is really good. And he's surprised that they don't think he's going to come back and be great. Like, I think it was very understandable for them to think he was past his prime and that he and Bradley Beal would not amount to anything substantial anymore and that their window ended years ago. And so I think they were totally rational about it. And I think he's rational about it too. Like, emotionally, that hurts. And like Waz said, he's always been a guy that reacts emotionally and he's raw about stuff. And I appreciate that about him. And he's mm-hmm. the Wizards got, that was a horrible trade for them.
Yeah. I'd be more offended if I'm John Wall that I got the Jared Goff treatment, right? You got to attach a first round pick to move me. Right? Like, I know what happened before the Jared Goff trade, but Trey, I'd be more offended by that. Like, wait, you need to attach what to get me out of here? That's not how
I'll
works.
Pack Jared Goff for bags who? For him. His bags was at the dough. His bags was at the dough as soon as his finger was messed up. I was like, all right, I got you, bro. We're going to get you up out of here. But yeah, no, like you guys said, you know, John, very passionate, gave a lot of, you know, philanthropy work, his time, you know, really built relationships mm-hmm. in that community. Basically,
he was really in D.C.
Yeah.
He was the Iverson of D.C. You know what I mean? When you think about it. Gil was outside when they was there, but John Wall gave his blood, sweat, and tears there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for the situation to happen, the hiccup with the video, and then, you know, he never, I personally don't remember him actually personally wanting out. But it was one of those relationships that needed to be kind of both mutual, needed to part ways. And they found a suitor in Houston. And obviously, you know, that first year is always the bittersweet one when you go back to play and you see employees that worked at the arena and people that show love and the people that know you the best. It's bigger than just playing for the team. And I think that's where the emotions are high for John. And I think after this game, he'll be able to move forward from it. But I'm not too crazy about the comments. You know, people asking him, like, how does he feel about returning? It's part of the business, but after this game, we need to move forward and just, you know, focus on what's going on in Houston and let Washington figure their things out as well.
For the Wizards, you wonder if they made a huge mistake not waiting for John Wall to come back and kind of playing it like Chris Paul
think,
with the Thunder.
I don't
Thunder,
think they made a mistake. I don't think they made a mistake because it's kind of similar to Portland. How long do you ride that out? Like, are they going to win championships with that team?
But, yeah, like, I wasn't talking about that, though.
But you might get more.
More so, like, he nurses his value back, and then you actually get something for him versus Russell giving up a pick and getting Russell Westbrook, who also has a bad contract.
I mean, coming off of Achilles, I don't think it's a hard sell. I mean, no one
I don't
no
know.
One, no one on God's green earth thought that he would play like that. I'm
well,
not
right.
Lie
That's
you.
Why if you had gotten 2 months of him playing next to Bradley Beal – looking the way that he has looked, I mean, you could still move him.
Yeah,
I don't think.
But
he plays
maybe
like
you get a better haul.
But I don't think he plays like that.
Yeah.
Though.
What if he looked awful?
Right. But what if you those 2 months he's worse? Right. What if
exactly?
We know that now, but at the time they're like, "Yo, what if he looks even worse than we think he's going to?"
How he do only looked great exactly. because he had a new chip on his shoulder.
Box.
Yeah,
and he had energy, and he's in a new environment, trying to be basically prove a mode. You know what I'm saying? He's playing with Boogie again. He's inspired. Different things motivated that drive early on. It's been kind of simmered down since then. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that he comes out with the same energy if him and Brad are back on the floor together.
Yeah, I do think they kind of had to move him. And I thought at the time, I thought, hey, this is a good move because Russ, I think, adds an energy that wasn't there. It just turns out that this team sucks. And Russ hasn't been good. And the team was just ravaged by COVID, right? And health and safety protocols. I mean, they didn't play for 2 weeks. And so they've been in kind of an impossible situation. And the reason that it looks so bad is because that just keeps that ticking clock on Bradley Beal and his situation. It
well,
just gets louder and louder and louder.
Oddly about Beal, they're playing a hot potato situation of like, who wants the keys to this car, right?
Right.
And Bradley Beal really didn't want the keys. He just ended up with the keys. John Wall really wanted the keys. You know what I'm saying? And they had to choose one, and the hot potato ended up in Bradley Beal's hand. And they said, all right, John, you got to go. And Bradley Beal is just kind of like, look, I'm just here. Like, I'm going to play, but, like, John really wants this. I don't want this because I have – it's like testing the water out, right, to see if it's cold or not. You're dipping a toe in. That's what that signing – him signing back was like, cool, I can use the extra money, but I really don't want to be here. I've been rumored to go to Miami. I've been rumored to go to LA for so long.
Yeah.
That my wife has publicly said, I want to be in LA. So again, sooner or later, free me. And they're not going to free him. For, you know what I mean? Like, but I also don't feel bad because he signed it. And now we got the whole thing of the like, hey, I never wanted to be traded, which is weird too, because you know you want to win. And you're not going to win with this roster.
Right.
So the best thing is to make the right decision. But don't flip it on the media trying to create a scenario. You know what I mean? Because, again, at the end of the day, everybody's screaming free Brad Beal. But Brad Beal doesn't want the accountability of actually wanting out. Or when he actually does
I think he likes it there.
Well, here's the thing. He does like it there, but he also doesn't want to waste his good years there.
Which he's doing.
Those are the...
Right.
Which he's doing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's playing the best. Listen.
Statistically, yo, I don't want to break
up. Away, y'all. He's wasting away.
To draw a Waz comparison, I don't want to break up, but I think we should be seeing other people.
There you go. There you go. He's the hot chick, man.
Yeah,
he's the hot chick on the block, bro.
Yeah.
And you know why I really wanted for Brad Beal? Because every time they played in the playoffs, Brad Beal's a gamer. He played better every playoffs.
Oh, yeah. He steps it up.
His previous regular season. He's a playoff kind of player, right? So, like, I would love to see him on a team that's actually going to achieve something. But he's such a good guy. He's such a team guy, loyal guy. He doesn't want to go out and, let's face it, due to James Harden.
Well, maybe instead of trying to find his way to like Brooklyn or Miami or the Lakers or the Clippers,
there's also people. There's also
people. He should try to find his way to Milwaukee.
That's nasty. But because people love Chris Middleton more than anything else. So that's not going to happen. I don't, you know, Chris Middleton is their prized possession.
Do we love Drew Holiday that much?
Let me ask you a question. Hold on. Let me ask you a question about that. Because they don't have any picks to trade for. So you got to give up. You can't give up Drew Holiday. But do they love Chris Middleton, who's really, really good? We have to throw the qualifier. We know he's really good. Or do they feel the need to outwardly love, show love for him? Because I do think there are two differences there.
There's a difference.
I think at this point they're all in until they don't have to be all in. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was like, oh, like yes, Chris Middleton for LeBron, they're like bye. You know what I'm saying? But if any other player has been brought up, like they would honestly think that Chris Middleton, because you know the Bucks fans are like that, would think Chris Middleton is better than Bradley Beal.
They are
okay. Hold on,
cheese-saturated minds. If they wouldn't trade Middleton for Bradley Beal,
you know, I don't know if I would.
What? No, but people look. See, yeah, there you go.
I don't know if I would.
What?
Because I mean, do I know Bradley Beal? Do I know Bradley Beal can play defense like Chris Middleton does? Like, there's a difference between a guy who can really, really score, and that's great. But Chris Middleton can do both.
You know what they need? Someone who wants the fucking ball in the playoffs. That's what they need. Bradley Beal wants the ball.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't know if I'm not trying to give up Chris Middleton if I'm there.
When and people could say, oh, the series was over. Oh, this, when Giannis went down. And it was just Chris Middleton. He played well against the Heat.
Hoping. He had that one game.
Hoping.
He had the one game, yeah. It was really good.
I think...
When there was no pressure because you're down 0-3, he was great. Lord.
Oh, man.
No, okay. He was. I'll give him that.
I love it, Zach. I love...
No, Bradley Beal playoff performances the last few years have been amazing.
Hey, guys, Zach, do y'all hear
I'm not
that?
Taking your bait. I see what you're trying to do.
No, because you know what? Because in game 5, when they're down back against the wall again, 8-25, yo, he lit it up. Oh, what a gamer.
Do y'all hear that table rocking?
Turnovers. Woo!
Do y'all hear that uneven table rocking?
He's shaking the table.
He's shaking the table.
I like Chris Middleton. And I think
it is the same table as Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, that's the table that Zach's rocking right now.
No, because we remember the one moment. We don't remember them shitting themselves in game 5. Like,
that's true, Zach. But I think Milwaukee would be doing themselves a favor to be doing less of the Giannis is the perimeter creator. Oh, he's the be-all, end-all of our offense in the biggest spots. They'd be doing themselves a bigger favor to let Chris Middleton do some stuff sometimes in big spots. I get Giannis wants it, and you want your superstar to want it, but you can't make a 16-footer, bro. Let's try to do different things on offense. I'm sorry. Why is that so bad?
Yo, Chris Middleton's really good.
If they empowered Chris Middleton to do that, you would see dividends being paid.
Chris Middleton's really good, but he's also been very unreliable in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Games 3 through 6 against the Raptors in 2019.
Oh, that was tough.
39% shooting. 14.8 points.
That was tough.
Like, come on, man. Tough. Like,
Chris, I tried. The Middleton family, I tried.
No, Chris is really, really good. He's an all NBA level player, but I want Bradley Beal over him every single time.
Oh, yeah. That's the conversation we're having.
Like, Middleton's great on that team. He's an all-star. He's an all NBA on that team. But in the playoffs, I want Bradley Beal. So I'd take you gotta make that trade.
He'll
every
get to
time.
The line. He'll play 44 minutes hard. He'll strap people.
He's not playing 44 minutes in Milwaukee.
Oh man, we got
ain't nobody trying to win games.
Lord have mercy.
Well, they got their ass beat against the Jazz this week, and that caused one Giannis Antetokounmpo call them the best team in the West.
I
care about you, Giannis. Don't do it. Don't doubt LeBron. You just said we follow him about this All Star stuff. Don't then go slap him in the face. It's a lot of slaps in the face lately.
Rudy Gobert, in a series against the Lakers where they're playing AD at the 5 for 40 minutes a game? Rudy Gobert? I don't think so.
Get him, Wash.
I don't think so.
Give us a Valentine's Day comparison, a relationship metaphor.
it's like, you know what it's like?
A family-friendly
one. You know what Giannis is basically like when your ex break up. Like, oh, I'm going to find me a better looking, taller, more handsome, got more money. Please. He was running the Ponzi scheme. and that's the Utah Jazz. No, I shouldn't say that. They're not running a Ponzi scheme. They're playing really well. They're doing what we thought they were going to do last year because Mike Conley has, like, completely made himself one with the offense. So, I get it. They look great.
They're really good.
But that being said, when LeBron and AD are playing next to three shooters, you're not beating me four times. That's what I'm going to do to you in the playoffs. I'm going to play AD at the five. Rudy's going to have to guard him. Rudy's going to have to guard those pick and rolls at 28 feet. He doesn't want to do that. And what, you're going to sit your $200 million man in a big series, in a big spot? Politically, that's impossible. Strategically, it's a mistake. Stop it. Utah's not there, guys. Utah's not there.
What about against your Clippers?
They actually match up really well with the Clippers, okay. I think. People are going to say they don't have the perimeter horses to defend Paul George and Kawhi, but I don't think the Clippers can defend them.
Yeah, man, the way they're moving that ball right now, like,
yeah, I don't think the Clippers play on a string like that. Like, so, you know, the second half of that Memphis game the other day where the Lakers went down by like 50 in the first quarter and ended up winning by 15. The second half, you saw the Lakers do that, like, swarm, play on a string, like, you know, move as one defense where it's just like, okay, Caruso's flying out of nowhere to get steals and fast breaks and all of that. Like, I know they have that gear defensively. I got PTSD from watching the Clippers in the second round last year defensively. Dude, like, I don't think they guard. Utah would be a tough matchup for them.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Clippers in the playoffs last year, you almost have to throw that out, man. That team was a mess.
Stuff. Because I picked them to take the Lakers to seven, but in the conference finals. So I hope you're right. But
I tend to agree with you guys on Utah, you know, where the Lakers are just so much better than everybody else, right? Like, that's the thing, is the Lakers are in a class by themselves. But I think Utah, from what we're seeing, I mean, this is the second best defense in the league right now. They've got a 9-something net rating. They're top 5 offense. I mean, they're actually very, very good. They may not be the best team in basketball because of the Lakers, but I think they're better than everybody else. I think it's going to be Lakers, Jazz, as long as nobody runs into any issues here. And let's see what the Clippers look like when they get to the playoffs, because I still think they need to make a move. But, man, Utah is a really good basketball team that does everything you want it to do. I do have some concerns that this really is Milwaukee from the last two seasons. And once they get to the playoffs, it's very easy to expose that drop scheme that they run. But as far as, like, basketball teams go in the regular season, I mean, it's the Lakers and then it's Utah, and then there's a big gap.
Yeah, I think what I would say on that is Utah is playing the best basketball, right? But it doesn't make 100% them the best basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference.
I seen a take and they compared them to the Atlantic Hawks team that sent 4 players to the
All-Star. Oh,
I kind of like it.
Who on the Hawks was as good as Donovan Mitchell?
Honestly. I mean, Al Horford and Paul Millsap were hell back then.
Oh my God.
Jeff Teague was legit back then. Kyle Korver was in his prime. Damari Carroll was the truth. Don't sleep on Damari Carroll.
Damari Carroll was the truth.
Yeah, he had a good year.
Hey, that's the first time I ever heard that in my life.
If Damari Carroll was the truth, lie to me, okay? Like, that's kind of overdosing.
You guys forget Damari Carroll was nice that year.
Oh, my God. Yo, I need a moment.
Hold on. But the Jazz have 3 guys better than any of those dudes.
No, but here's the thing.
Mitchell was putting 50 on people's head tops in the playoffs last year, fam. Who on that Hawks team could put 50 on anybody? They couldn't do that in CYO, Al Horford. What are you talking about?
Al Horford's not
worth 50 points with 50 points in his pocket. What you talking about?
The comparison isn't that the Jazz like have the same ceiling that Hawks team did, which was that Hawks team was destined to get booted out of the playoffs by LeBron no matter what. No, the comparison to me is that Hawks team was a team that played as the sum was way bigger than the parts. You know, like that team played such beautiful basketball and won 60 games with a roster, like you said, that wasn't great. If you look at the Jazz,
a lot of
like,
really good players.
A whole lot of really good players. I think the Jazz have some of that too. Like Mitchell and Gobert, you can put them Like, what are they, second tier behind like the top guys? But then the rest, like, they just have a lot of really good players who play really smart basketball.
Jay, you just
like,
caught yourself saying Al Horford and Paul Millsap. You really just caught yourself saying
you
that.
Forget how hell those guys were back in the day, man.
Paul Millsap led the team in scoring with 16 points a game.
I'm not doing this with Jay King today.
Yeah, that's kind of rude. First of all,
it's rude.
It's disrespectful to the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz are playing exceptional basketball.
You guys forget how exceptional that Hawks team was, though.
We have the comparison. Listen, it's the Bucks. It's Budenholzer. That's what it is.
Jay. Right. Look,
Jay.
I love what the Jazz are doing.
Jay.
I think it is utterly disrespectful to compare them to the Atlanta Hawks. They are playing exceptional basketball. They do not have a LeBron James on their team, so they won't get the love that they have. And also, it's the regular season, so no one really bats their eyes at it. But for Jay King to die on this Atlanta Hawks hill.
He's out of his mind.
He's out of his mind on this Valentine's Day.
I don't think it's crazy.
Love drunk.
I don't think it's crazy to think that a team that plays great basketball and is better than the players they have. Like, I actually don't think that's crazy. Those guys, you're putting down Horford and Millsap. Two-way, they were awesome, man. Like, both those guys.
We get that Al Horford was in Boston and he showed you love and he gave you good quotes, Jay King, but stop, man.
He didn't give very good quotes, man.
Oh, he gave you shit quotes and you still kissing his ass. I can't believe that. Have some DeMar pride about
Carroll
yourself,
was
Jay
the
King.
Truth. 12.6 points per game.
He was the truth.
Was that Washington Wizards the truth for Paul Pierce? What are we doing here?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Speaking of people liking other teams.
I hope Tony Jones don't listen to this pod because he seems to think.
Tony Jones. I'm going to tag Tony Jones.
Tony Jones thinks it's a bad thing if Montrezl Harrell doesn't play in the series against the Lakers and Jazz. He said, that would mean they didn't play Trez if they played AD at the 5 for 40 minutes. I said, so?
Yeah, Trez is not there for the playoffs.
Right. What? Yeah, Trez is to get them to the playoffs, like without AD blowing out his Achilles. That's
exactly.
What that is.
Exactly.
I saw a play the other night where AD literally just hung out on the offense end of the floor for a possession. And then they just threw him the ball and he got an easy dunk.
Good.
Yeah.
He should do more of that. Absolutely. Actually, I mean,
son, AD.
I'm a little nervous about that Achilles. That's the only thing that I'm nervous about for the Lakers.
What are they calling it? It's an Achilles.
Tendinosis. So tendinosis. Yeah. And that's different than tendinitis. So tendinosis.
They said it's worse than tendinitis.
It would indicate. Yeah, it would indicate that there's some sort of degenerative condition versus just inflammation. That's not great.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
And this is a guy, fragile, been fragile.
Man, that team had Schroeder, bruh.
Oh, Lord. He's back to his
Dabo Sevelosha was the truth.
Dennis the Menace.
He's back to his Hawks.
I swear to Peril God, you mentioned Peril Antich, and I'm going to fucking hang up on you. I swear to God.
He was real.
John Jenkins.
Austin Day
remember when John Jenkins
one.
Was a thing? Dude. Shooter out of, where was he, from Vanderbilt or something like that?
People was ready to die on the weirdest hills, man.
I think it's that Dave beat his ass in an argument last time. He's still
feeling the lashes when Dave whooped him last week.
Well,
he still got the welts.
Is a much nicer
he still got the welts on his
am.
Ass from the whooping he got last week. That's...
Oh, come on.
I can't believe he didn't bring a song for me. I'm a little disappointed. Yeah,
Dave didn't go hard enough.
Down
and this week, Waz just said, you don't want to do this. That was awesome.
No love for the kid tonight.
That's coming after the podcast for you,
no
buddy.
Love
that's
for
not
kid.
On this spot.
No love for the kid. No love for the kid. They said we giving Jay King a free basketball education every week on this pod. They said we doing God's work.
That was disrespectful.
That was disrespectful. Yeah, that was messed up.
You be out here getting smoked on this joint every time you sign on.
All right. Draymond Green, after the Warriors got obliterated by the Brooklyn Nets in San Francisco, Draymond Green on the Nets, care of Anthony Slater. They're the team to beat in the East, my opinion.
I agree. I will agree on this now that Kyrie has defined roles. I thought that was very important because again, I've mentioned it early on when this trade first happened that when LeBron joined the Miami Heat, he didn't want to step on toes.
Right.
He didn't know what he was supposed to do. And no one had that honest conversation of like, you do this and I'll do that. With Kyrie telling James, you're the point guard and I'm the shooting guard now, that helps so much.
That's
because
the way to go.
James was walking around, should I shoot? I'm new here. I don't want to get anybody mad. I'm new in the locker room. I just want to fit in. Versus now, I'm the point guard. Kyrie's going to shoot 20 plus times and I'll get what I can get. There you go. Kevin does what he does. You know, they played Kevin at the five, played exceptionally well, beat the brakes off the Warriors. I didn't enjoy the game that much, but, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully they can bring that same energy against, you know, better teams. But I'm glad that Kyrie did that because moving forward, they're going to look like a different team. They're not going to be – obviously, they're not going to stop giving up tons of points, but there was a comment that I made about – actually, I quoted Steve Nash saying it's up to the team to be what team they want to be, right? And people were like lighting Steve Nash ass up about it, like, oh, you're the coach, you're supposed to have X and O's. Oh my God, could you believe this guy? And it's like, no, he can't play the games for these guys. Mm-hmm. He can't go out there and shoot jumpers.
He can't give them effort on defense.
Mm-hmm. He can't give them effort on defense. Well, he couldn't do that anyway.
Right. But
it's not even an effort issue.
Why we had to just snipe Steve Nash the player right quick? I don't know why we had to just do that.
It just happens. But like, I got much love for him. Coach
Wasn't
Nash
Tom
is
Thibodeau
nice.
Like a not a good defender as a player? Isn't that a thing? Am I making that up?
Yeah, there was some story that said he was a trash defender when he was.
Yeah, he was a score first point guard.
This is like we found out our buddy Tom Haverstraw took like 4 free throws his senior year in high school. And he's Mr. Efficiency, get to the line.
So, long story short, it's on the guys to have effort. They went out, they played against a team, held them under 100 points, right? Bung. Now, again, it's all about effort. But how do you preach effort to 3 superstars? How
do you preach effort? In a 72-game season.
In a 72-game season, right? And James Harden combated and said, in a 7-game series, we won't lose.
I
don't
that.
Believe that we will lose against any team in a 7-game series.
Love that.
And I like that on the Eastern Conference. But I do. I just got to be honest. Yeah. I like that in the Eastern Conference because you got the 3-headed monster. But the 36-year-old balding superstar.
He's not going to play with y'all.
Who's not a scorer.
He's going to make, Kyrie guard him on 89 possessions in a row.
And going to make it like hell.
Yeah, pick and roll. Yo, switch.
It
switch,
is going
yeah,
to
switch
be hell in the cell.
I'm taking you to school, yes. Young man.
Yes. So the leading MVP candidate is going to give them problems. But I like what they're doing. I like that. And they're the favorites right now out of the East because of that adjustment, that small twist that they're going to have. And DeAndre Jordan is showing some type of flash of that all-star year that he had.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to do nothing but eat with his hands
and dunk.
He's
doing a lot of work with the word flash right there.
He's not going to play in fourth quarters in meaningful games. But I want to jump in real quick. I agree with pretty much everything Trey said. However, I am going to throw Jay King back under the bus for texting us just now. Y'all really gassing a team that couldn't get out of the first round last year like they're a proven championship. SMDHLOL. No! We said they can't beat the Lakers. Also, that team you're gassing up made the conference finals and got swept.
What is Jay King talking about right now?
I don't know, Jay. What's going on?
Jay King, don't side-text us about an argument you already lost.
Comparing a team to that Hawks squad, is very high praise.
You're derailing our segment.
No,
because
everyone thinks they're frauds.
I didn't derail, man. I said that as a side text.
Can we just...
you should have said that shit after we recorded.
I think, Jay, there's a real issue with trying to look at what happened in the bubble playoffs and glean anything from it outside are good.
I was just messing around with that. 100% messing around with that.
Because, I mean, they lost to Denver, right? Denver comes back from 3-1 down twice. You know, Denver lost more games in the playoffs last year than they won, and they made the conference finals.
Utah is playing totally differently than last year. I was just talking shit in the text.
Yeah.
This man made me lose my train of thought. Listen.
However.
The Brooklyn Nets are absolutely the team to beat in the East. I don't know how you can watch Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, and feel like they have some type of edge over the Nets in a 7-game series. Every game, there's no back-to-backs. They get rest in between games. They can dig in on defense collectively when they need to against those teams specifically. I don't know why you would watch those teams and feel like, oh, Brooklyn's going to have some huge major issue, you know, stopping them when they need to, while also having the craziest offense in the league. But what Trey said, I think, was very smart in comparing them to the Miami Heat of 2010-2011. I think ultimately what's going to do them in is they don't have any depth. They'll get the depth next offseason, and they're going to be crazy next year. But right now,
I'm going to say yet, because I like the buyout market still. I don't think that three guys it's that they rolled
skimpy.
With.
What buyout market?
It's skimpy.
Hold on. Hold on.
Dwayne
hold
Dedman?
On, Dave.
Like,
hold
what
on,
are we
Dave,
doing with
because I'm going to at you when it happens.
Oh, Adam
I'm
going to
at you when it happens.
Adam Adam.
When we get a McGee or a Drummond come out this way, don't worry,
don't do McGee.
Family.
Don't do
if,
McGee.
Listen, if
Drummond,
hey,
okay.
Drummond. With all due respect, hold on, but with all due respect, if either one of those guys swing any kind of championship, I have no idea what sport we're watching.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
Because
Dave Dufour putting it on the line right now.
And I've been saying, you know, I think Andre Drummond is a piece that teams could use, but he's not swinging. Look, Andre Drummond does not do enough. They're not adding Rudy Gobert to the Brooklyn Nets, and that's what they really need, because they have issues not just guarding in the middle. They have issues guarding at the point of attack. And so you got to have somebody who can erase that. Those guys, you're not getting them on the buyout market. I'm with you guys. I think next year is when that team should be taken seriously. If they happen to make the finals this year, it's not going to be like it's not a real finals run for them. I don't think that they can beat the Lakers with the way that they play defense. I think they can outscore every single team in the league except for the Lakers. But I don't think that they can play the defense they need to do to beat the Lakers.
Yeah, but even like, okay, so they make the finals, and let's say the Lakers even sweep them. Like, they still made the fucking finals, right?
Oh, that's
like
a great season for them. Yeah. That's a great season.
The point is to become a contender. They're a contender. Yeah. Like, I think it's possible they could win the championship. I don't think it's likely, but also that's just based on what the roster is right now. That's with them, like, having to play, like, Jeff Green at the five, right? And stuff like that. Like, KD's just not the guy defensively yet, because he's come back off an Achilles. So you just can't, like, if he was, you know, probably next year's version of KD, like, you know, kind of we're saying next year, right. Then I'm like, okay, defensively, he can do a lot more than what he's capable of doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Cause that's also not playing next to Draymond Green either, right? Like Draymond allowed Kevin Durant to unlock this whole nother level of defense. And we saw it in spurts in Oklahoma City. I mean, because Ibaka
was
very similar for him. Yeah. But, you know, he doesn't have that in Brooklyn. I just feel like that's a lot of responsibility to be putting on a guy. Was he 32, 33, coming off an Achilles? And you know, this idea that Kevin Durant, you know, tarantula backline help defender can solve all your woes. I just don't think you've got the other guys to do that.
They should sign Damari Carroll. I heard he's a troop.
Yo, Jay King literally made me take my headphones off, and I dislodged the piece in the mic, so my recording had to start over. I'm going to have to send two recordings to Jade because of Jay King and his terrible takes today. Thanks for nothing, Jay King.
12 points, man. Felt like 14 points though that year, you know.
But no, but honestly, I was definitely somebody who thumbed my nose at the Brooklyn deal when it was floated before the season, and I was like, that shit ain't gonna work, whatever. And then once they executed it, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, man, this team is kind of, they're gonna get buckets on people. And, like, I don't respect none of these teams, with all due respect to Jay King Celtics. Like,
no respect.
Yo, get Jaylen Brown some help, man. Right now. He like Free Brad Beal out there, bro.
Well, let's get to it then. Was the worry meter.
Marcus Smart should be MVP?
I mean, this is my issue, right? I think I texted you guys this earlier today. Marcus Smart can't be so important that the Celtics lose to the Wizards.
No.
There's no way. Mm-mm. Like, he's a really excellent role player, but he can't be that important to where they get waxed by the Wizards.
It's been bad in Boston.
Yeah, my worry meter with the Celtics is through the roof. Like, I've been kind of thinking, like, well, they'll get back, they'll be fine. And I just don't see any progress, Jay.
I mean, we've been complaining about the Nets. They're 16-12. Like, they're doing okay. And we've been the COVID protocol and all of that. Like, you would think they were playing like Boston the way we've been talking about the Nets.
Yeah, the Celtics, they have a lot of issues right now. They've won 5 of their last 15 games. Wow. They just got whacked by the Wizards after losing to the Pistons two nights ago. It's just ugly. You start with Kemba Walker. There are obvious concerns about his knee. He went through a stretch recently where he made 1 of 21 two-point attempts, which is almost impossible for anyone, never mind guy who was on the All-Star team last season. You look at the supporting cast beyond Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and Kemba Walker. Are there any shooters on that team?
Kevin Pritchard is not a beast.
Not Kevin Pritchard.
You don't even know his name. So, yeah, I mean, then you look at their defense, which I thought the defense would be good after bringing in Tristan Thompson and returning Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I might have underrated the fact that they lost a lot of defensive versatility. Their backups are mostly point guards like Peyton Pritchard, Jeff Teague, or centers like Tristan Thompson, Robert Williams. They don't really have any wings that they trust to play minutes. And, you know, throw Semi Ojeleye in there. He's played pretty well lately. But they don't have the defensive versatility they've had the past few years. They don't have the amount of wing depth that they've had the past few years. They don't have shooters around their best players. And it's been ugly. And they don't pass the ball well either. They're in the mid-20s in assists, which I know isn't always indicative of good offenses. But this team they don't have like a big man you can run offense through. They don't have a big man who's a pick and pop guy. They're just down a lot of things that good teams have. It's been ugly.
And what's Basic Brad doing to fix things?
Starting Semi Ojeleye.
He's playing three bigs at one time. He's got Grant Williams.
Are any of them good?
He's got Grant Williams, Tice, and Tristan Thompson out there trying to guard Bradley Beal for some reason. Yeah, I swear to God, man, I'm watching this shit happen, and I'm thinking to myself, what kind of – and I, you know, I think Brad Stevens is one of the best defensive coaches. Brad Stevens is one of the best defensive coaches in the last, you know, 20 years of the NBA. I think he's excellent at coaching up a defense. But that being said, man, you got to like put the right personnel on the court. First of all, and I know they're shorthanded and it sucks, but come on, man. Like three bigs against the Wizards. And I'm not shocked that they got cooked.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, it looks bad when he does that. It looks really bad.
Yeah, because it is bad.
But what are the options? Play Carson Edwards, who's shooting 30-something percent and is 6'6".
I know Carson Daly. I don't know Carson Edwards.
Play Aaron Nesmith.
Carson Edwards was a beast in the tournament, man. Are you kidding me?
Play Aaron Nesmith, who's given them nothing so far in his rookie year. Like, I just don't – like, I understand it looks horrible when he plays all the big guys.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, they've gotten nothing from – so their backup wings, they've gotten nothing from Jeff Teague.
They have a shortage of adult basketball players.
Well, shortage of adult basketball players and just perimeter basketball players, which is why he's played so many big guys.
Well, this is where losing Gordon Hayward really has hurt them. And like we talked about coming into the season, Gordon Hayward has just been overlooked as a part of this team. And I think often by the Celtics themselves and his importance when they needed another playmaker. I mean, look, Batum would help them.
Yeah.
I mean, he really would. And it's a crazy thing to say for a team that was so.
But Batum would help you. That's bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because they don't have any depth on the wing whatsoever. Losing Gordon Hayward was just, I mean, a massive blow. We might look back on this in a couple of years and think that is the thing that kept this team from taking the next step, to be honest with you.
Can you just imagine if they had flipped Gordon for Miles Turner, how differently this team looks?
It just is unbelievable to me. How do you not want Miles Turner? I don't know why Indiana has spent the last 2 years trying to give the guy away, but I definitely don't know why Boston didn't want him. Good Lord, he fixes 10 problems that they have immediately.
Dave, I take exception with one thing you said in terms of them playing the three bigs. To be fair, Grant Williams is a 6'2" center. Okay, so he's, that's, you know, true. Yes, he's, that's a center, true. But he's 6'2".
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. He's so he's you know, he's like a normal human being. But
right, exactly. But he plays like a big. Because he's built like Chuck Hayes.
Chuck Hayes, exactly.
All right, what about...
Damn, Chuck Hayes caught the stray.
No, that's a compliment. No.
Shouts to Modesto, man. Though. Modesto, yeah. Legend.
Nothing but respect to Chuck Hayes.
Chuck Hayes is still my favorite clip of him is when he had that hitch with the free throw line and Allen Iverson tried to get the ref to call traveling on him on a free throw. On a technical free throw. He's like, he traveled.
Like, I've never seen this. There has to be a call. I've never seen somebody do this.
It's got
to
be something. All right, so is anyone not worried about the Celtics? Are we all like worried?
Oh no, that worry meter is blasting right now.
I'm at
now.
A 10 of 10. Like, I'm at a point where I'm saying free Jaylen Brown. Let's get him to a winner.
But the fact that they disrespected Gordy Hayward and just let him leave in free agency, just walk for nothing in free agency, is crazy. By the way, I'm being revisionist here. I thought the contract that he got from Charlotte was ridiculous. It was insane. I was like, how could you give this guy that much money? So yeah, I'm talking out the side of my mouth right now.
I'm at a 10 out of 10. Is anyone else that high?
I'm not 10 because I think in the playoffs, they'll strap people. Like, they'll actually play defense because they have a history of it. Like, it's been like 5-6 years of them being really good at defense.
Yeah.
So, like, and Brad Stevens, like Dave said, is one of the best defensive-minded coaches that we have. So I think they're going to play defense in the playoffs, and the stuff that Jaylen Brown has improved upon this season to become the best player on the team, clearly, I think that's going to translate to the playoffs too.
I think my worry meter, like 7 out of 10. I think
I'm a five.
If you're looking at them from a matter of, are they a champion? Are they going to win a championship this year? I don't think
Of course not.
That's gone. But will they play a lot better than they have? Yeah, because I think Kemba will play better. Even if he's not right health-wise, he'll play much better than he has lately. They'll get back healthy. This team is not built to have one of their main guys out, and they've had at least one of their main guys out, sometimes two of their main guys out for the last like 10 or 12 games. They've hardly been healthy together at the same time at all. And then I think the trade exception, they'll go out and use that to get some additional depth. And I think that will make a big deal for them. Having one more player, legitimate rotation player, even if it's not a great player, will really help this team.
I mean, the Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward for Kemba trade is just not working out great for Boston.
It's a tough one.
If Boston had Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward right now, we would feel a lot better about him.
But Kemba's hurt, though. He's coming back from an injury.
I know. Okay, look, but can't listen. Can't
do that when I'm yelling out.
It's not
fire
new,
meter,
Kemba
Brad
has
Stevens.
Been hurt.
Brad Stevens, your days are numbered.
Whoa. Kemba didn't start getting injured when he got to Boston.
Trey just turned up the hot seat.
He just
Trey just turned up the
Brad
hot seat on Brad.
He just fired Brad
your
Stevens.
Your days are numbered.
You're disrespectful, sir.
Wow.
You have 15 months.
Wow. 15? Whoa!
Wow.
Whoa! Wow. You put
Brad
an end date on that shit.
Wow, the city's under new
15
management.
15 months. You have 15 months.
Oh, man.
Peyton Pritchard's not going to do it for us,
baby. This team
has
still never lost when Kendrick Perkins was healthy. So.
That's true.
Listen,
that's true.
Peyton Pritchard's not going to do it for us, baby.
Shit, I think right now they could use Kendrick Perkins. Current day.
Chill. I don't know about that.
Another center? They already play 7 of them.
All right,
yeah, but he'd be better.
Another team on the worry meter, the Atlanta Hawks, who have now lost 6 of their last 7. They've been a roller coaster all year. Like, they don't have any kind of like just we're at a medium. They're either on a high or a low. And so maybe that's a sign of still a very young core.
Gosh,
but the Atlanta Hawks.
Also some really bad injury luck.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think they're young, man. Yeah. And they're still figuring out. And this is the first year since the rebuild that they've had 7 legitimate NBA players on the team, right? Like, you know, they're just now learning what it is to win, how you go about actually doing that. But I don't know. I'm bullish on the talent, like DeAndre Hunter. Sorry, Dave Dufour and the Nerder crew. You guys were way too harsh on DeAndre last year.
When? Last year?
Yes.
Well, he was awful.
He was awful. Rookie, Dave.
Look,
he was a rookie. Okay, but rookies don't have good numbers.
I didn't say cut him.
Nah, son. But y'all, yeah, was mean. Y'all was most mean to DeAndre Hunter, son.
Oh, that's not true.
Oh, my God.
Nerder doesn't do mean.
Oh, please.
It just sounds mean.
Just
because we're just telling you the truth.
Just to each other. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're just telling the truth. Listen,
DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter.
Said because we're just telling the truth.
I'm also open to the idea DeAndre that Hunter they thought they were talking about Jared Culver the whole time. I'm also open to that idea.
It was also bad. I mean, DeAndre Hunter. And see, this is the thing that really stinks about Atlanta this year. Like, DeAndre Hunter looked amazing while he was out there, and then he gets hurt. Now he's out for 2 months, and you hope he can come back at that same level. They're not getting to do any of the chemistry building that you expect him to be able to do with Bogdan Bogdanovic. And even when he was there for the very short amount of time that he's been there, they weren't putting the ball in his hands, which is, you know, to me, like,
the whole point.
Why the hell did you sign him?
Yeah.
If it wasn't to get Trey off the ball some. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that there the injuries to those two guys in particular, that's really rough, and it's made it really hard for me to judge this team in general.
I still like them.
Cam Reddish has been struggling quite a bit, shooting the ball especially.
I will never just leave all around Cam Reddish Island. Been bad. I'll never leave it. I will go down with that ship. I don't care. I'm still in on Cam Reddish. He's
so big. That's my thing. Like, his size is crazy.
He's huge. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Clint Capella has been really good for them.
Yeah, Capella's been
dope.
But it's just been a weird season. It's been a weird season for everybody, but in particular, them losing two guys that, you know, if not both starters, were at least going to be heavy, heavy rotation guys. And it's really thrown them off. I think they've been scuffling since the DeAndre Hunter.
Weird season for everybody Lakers, who somehow have managed to dodge COVID protocol all year, y'all.
Lakers.
I'm not
going to
reiterate what I said last week, but
they only play 17 minutes a game.
Someone got really upset at you for that. There's some tweet I'd stop reading halfway through. I was just like, oh my God, what are we doing? But someone was really upset at you over that. Irresponsible.
What's irresponsible?
Irresponsible was.
Oh, okay.
I'm not worried about the Hawks at all, because I think they just are. Like, if you told us that Bogdanovich was going to get hurt, Gallinari would be hurt, DeAndre Hunter would be hurt.
Gallo's always hurt.
Chris Dunn hadn't even played.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, he still got the ankle shit, right?
The expectations on this team were that they would have a lot more actual NBA players. They haven't had several of those NBA players throughout most of the season. And, like, missing Gallo for half the season, that really hurts. Hunter has become a stud. And losing him hurts a lot. Bogdanovich, like, they were expecting him to be probably their second best player. He's only played 9 games. And so I think a lot of their struggles are circumstance, and then the rest of the guys are just still young and figuring it out.
Do we think they make the playoffs? And I'm not saying play-in tournament. I'm done talking about it. Play-in tournament, I'm officially saying it's not the playoffs.
I don't even know how to get that. The playoffs as a 10 seed?
No.
Is that playoffs?
Let's make it a policy on this pod right now that does not mean the playoffs.
Okay, good.
The play-in tournament.
Okay, good. I'm with you on that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. You know, I'm getting worried just because I don't think that they're going to be healthy long enough to do it.
The games of power.
But I think we saw, though, what the vision for this team would work.
I think we got a good chance.
Right. And I think that going into next year, we should all feel pretty good about the Hawks, especially in the East. You know, obviously, let's see what happens. But I'm worried that it's going to get a little too late before they get healthy. And I think that that's going to be the thing that ultimately could keep them out of the playoffs. And let's not forget the Knicks being passable and the Bulls being competitive and Charlotte being competitive. Like, there are teams that are more competitive than I had anticipated coming into this season. So I've backed off Atlanta a little bit given the injuries, and then seeing these other teams, I'm a little bit higher on them. So I think it's going to be tough for them to make that the actual playoffs. Yeah, it's going to be tight.
One more on the worry meter. The Miami Heat, who have been better as of late, but we're still not seeing the Heat do much, and that they're maybe healthy now.
I'm worried.
You gotta be worried. But it sounds crazy, they haven't replaced Jay Crowder. I know how stupid that sounds, Zach. I get it.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't sound stupid at all.
But they
not
haven't
stupid
replaced
at all.
Jay Crowder's role as...
He's like the Damari Carroll of the Heat.
All right. I'm gonna talk to y'all later. I'm out.
I really, did he hang up? I hope he did.
I would say this.
Yo, that was a perfect exit.
It's a perfect exit. That was perfect. I don't want him to come back. This team has been horrendous without Jimmy Butler, and they've been a winning team with Jimmy Butler. And so I'm not worried yet just because he's back now. He doesn't look all that good to me, but they're just such a much more competent team when he's on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he does the stuff that they've been missing. You know, Goron hasn't been great. Tyler Hero is kind of struggling a little bit. Duncan Robinson getting a lot, even more contested looks and not making them at 45% like he did last year. You know, there's a lot of regression for this team. Goron not looking like he did in the bubble. And to the point where, you know, I start questioning how much of the bubble was real for this team. They had some really, really unsustainable shooting when you look back at the percentages from the bubble. But they're a better basketball team than this.
Yeah, but
for sure.
Yeah, they were.
This is just
arguably the best 3-point shooting team in the league last season before the bubble, too. Though, right? Like, I do think a lot of what they did in the bubble was just an extension of what they did pre-COVID. It just never dropped off, and it did increase, but it never dropped off. And so some of that could be smoke and mirrors. I'm open to that idea. I don't think it is, but I don't think they became a different team in the bubble.
No. I agree with that. I think they were just more successful, right? Like they were hitting shots that maybe don't fall in a non-bubble environment. I know that's weird to say, but guys were making shots. Like shooting was way up in the bubble. And I think Miami is one of the teams that really probably caught on early that guys were just making more shots. And so they were letting them fly. I mean, not so much different from what they were going to do, but I think maybe they were settling for more contested shots just because they felt like there were better looks in the bubble.
Right.
And, you know, there's no way to know this fully, but we do know that the numbers are different. And I'll just say this, like the shooting for them is going to regress. They are going to shoot better unless they've just all forgotten how to shoot. And so I think that they're going to look better soon, but I just don't know that they were ever as good as they were in the bubble, if that makes sense. Like I think the bubble was the best, most realized, fully realized version of the Miami Heat. And anything you're going to get outside of that bubble environment is never going to hit that level. I mean, they were just so good until Goron got hurt.
Yeah, Trey, I think one big positive for the Heat is that Bam Adebayo has taken another step as a scorer.
Oh, my God, man.
And his shooting has gotten much, much better.
Yo, he's as good as any big man in the league. He's legit.
So when you judge the rest of their struggles, you also have to keep in mind, like, Bam has taken a step. And I think that means a lot for this team moving forward. Right now, like Goron's troubles, Duncan Robinson's not shooting as well as he used to or did last year. I think they have a lot of issues that they have to figure out. But at the end of the day, they have Bam, who's unbelievable, and Jimmy Butler, who's really freaking good. And I think that when they get to the playoffs, that this is a playoff team.
Trey, why are you worried about the Heat?
They just got down too long. I mean, at this time, they're playing catch up. It's like a wicker being lit, and it's doing the Mission Impossible theme, and you're trying to blow it out before it explodes. And it's just the more you blow on the lit wick, it's just going faster. And I think that they dropped so many games, and the East is super weird because it can fluctuate between that 8, 9, 10 area.
Yeah.
That will get them back in the area, but I don't know. I don't think it works out in their favor. And like I said, unfortunate they caught the injury bug and a lot of things are going on, but I think it's just the durability of the team. You know what I mean? You make it to the finals and then try to turn it around. Stuff happens. Everybody can't beat the LA Lakers and have a cure. And then also have the luxury of just having, you know, million dollar recovery situation. So, I'm still amazed to this day, as Waz said, how disciplined the Lakers are with no contact tracing in a big city like that.
It's really incredible. That's all it is, man.
It's just, you know, my worry meter is very high, and Hopefully they can turn around because they're an exciting team and they're very dangerous if they end up. If they're 8 seed, they're a problem for a lot of people. And I don't like to doubt Spo. Spo's like Tom Brady. Like, you don't want to bet against him. So I like his chances. But right now, it's in the red.
Prediction.
Well, and also, look, man, I think the health thing, like, we can't – I don't want to just sidestep that completely. I think that the health thing has been a real issue for them. And obviously, this is a team that – we saw them when their chemistry was at its best, and it was incredible. So, you know, they could have a couple of weeks of good health here, rest up after the All-Star break, and blow the doors off everybody. And it would not shock me for the exact same reasons we just laid out. It is just a weird year overall. But in particular, I think Miami is just hitting them pretty hard. Just like they were in better shape than most teams in the bubble, I think. I think that their team culture – worked so well in the bubble, and maybe it's getting hurt a little bit in this regular season. And maybe I'm overthinking this, but you know, they're not having the dinners. They're not having the stuff that, you know, I know is such a big part of the framework of their team. And, you know, I wonder if that coupled with the health is a reason why we're seeing them struggle a little bit.
Prediction: 4 seed.
I think 5 or 6 seed. Yeah. Somewhere in that range.
It's gonna
be close.
Yeah, that's gonna be close. That's gonna do it for the Athletic NBA Show Basket Buds Edition. Make sure you subscribe, leave a good review, 5 stars, positive. I don't know, make a joke out of it. Just make it a 5-star review. Check out the rest of the Athletic NBA Show throughout the week. Tampering on Tuesday, Hoops Adjacent Wednesday, Point of Contention Thursday, Nerdish You Wrote on Friday. Check out the Restricted Area, the YouTube channel show about the NBA with myself and Waz, who's been out of here for a while because Jay King pissed him off. Make sure you check out all the team specific shows. No Dunks, subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you're getting the best sports coverage on the internet. For Trey, the departed Waz, Dave, and Jay, who's just throwing grenades left and right, I'm Zach. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
Congrats on the section.